Let us pray.
Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for the love and grace that you pour out into our lives each and every day. And we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Like all of us, when we're born into a world that is quite small. We see our home, but that life consists of anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 square feet. And when we travel, what do we see? The back of a car seat. And we may go to grocery stores or other stores, even to the doctors. And when it's warm, we may even see the neighborhood around us. But the reality is, when we're small, our world is quite small. And as we grow, our world expands. I remember going to a pool for the first time, and that pool was much larger than my bathtub, or the bathtub that I used. And then I went for the first time, the family went on a vacation, we went to a lake. And the lake was huge compared to the pool that I had been in. And my world started to expand. But then my world grew in enormity when I first saw the Great Lakes. And it grew even bigger when I saw the pounding of the waves on the eastern seacoast. I couldn't believe how small I felt as I looked out onto the Atlantic Ocean. Sure, I've seen maps and globes with the water, but I might not have believed it until I saw it with my own eyes. What if I told you that there were places in the world where waves were lapping up on the beach, and the waves were blue, like those little shoes that kids wear that light up? Michelle, could you give me the... Now, why don't you just click for me? Go ahead and go to the next screen. Here's a picture of a beach in the daylight. Just hit the down arrow. Here's a picture of the beach in the daylight. As normal as it may seem, there's something in the water. Does that scare you?
Shark.
Let's go to the next screen. The sun begins to set. Notice the waves. Just hit the down arrow. Okay. Why don't you give me the clicker? And you'll need the... So as the waves pound up on the beach, you see the ripples in the sand. You see a little bit of the blue, but there is indeed something in the water. There is something. There you go. As the sun begins to set, notice the waves. They're lighting up, aren't they? And further into the night, the waves begin to lighten up even more, almost as if you're in an animated Disney movie. There we go. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody took a lot of pain to put those little blue lights in the sand. But that's not the case. As we look a little closer, it's not continuous blue, but there are little blue lights like they are stars that have fallen from the sky. So we know that something is in the water. But what can it be? It's little microbes. They're called phytoplankton, and they possess the property of bio, you and They emanate a blue glow naturally when under stress or pressure. So whenever the planktons experience any stress or pressure, like the waves crashing up on the shore or a human footstep, they glow like these pictures show. What a God moment. When you walk along the beach at night, to see God's handiwork. Well, I would have never believed that they existed during the day. In fact, I would never have believed it without seeing it for myself. I wonder how we go through life believing in what we can see when there is so much more. How can you ever have you ever really thought about what cannot be seen and how that impacts your life? In Luke chapter 5, we find Peter believing only what he can see. Now, Jesus has been on the scene for a short while, but even in that short while, people have been gravitating to him. You see, Luke has spoken about how Jesus has driven out impure spirits, how Jesus has even healed many, many people from sicknesses. And word has gotten out about this young rabbi. And soon people are flocking to hear him, to experience them for himself. They want to hear him. They want to see. Have you ever yearned so much for Jesus that you had to seek him in a way that was outside of church on Sunday mornings or going to a Bible study? I mean, have you just spent time reading the Gospels to learn about this Jesus? To experience him for yourself? To hear him and to see him? One day, Jesus is standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and he was speaking about God. And the people, Luke says, are crowding around him. They want to hear him. They want to see this man whose word resounds in their ears with truth, with power, with the authority of God. It seems almost as if Jesus is going to be pushed into the water. And wait, there's a couple of boats. And, of course, one is Simon's, and that's the boat that Jesus gets into. And he asks Simon to push off from shore. And then he sits down, and he continues teaching the people. I remember Bobby Craig Knievel, a stunt performer better known as Evil Knievel. Don't forget the Knievel. Back on September 8, 1974, he attempted to jump the Snake River Canyon on a steam-powered sky cycle. Do you remember that? As a 14-year-old, I remember sitting there watching ABC's Wide World of Sports with Jim LaFay. The anticipation had been building for weeks. And of course, the show milked this along until finally he made his epic jump. I couldn't wait to watch this. I couldn't believe that someone would do this unless I saw it with my own eyes. It was this kind of anticipation that people had with Jesus. What would he say? What is he going to do next? After he spoke, Jesus said to Simon, let's see if we can get there. Can you go down to the next screen, Michelle? Read it with me. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for the catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now, Simon had heard about this young rabbi, his teacher, and even eventually called him Master, recognizing him as one who had authority. But Simon, like so many times in our lives, we hesitate to do what Jesus asks, and he did too. Because he couldn't see that there would be any beneficial results if he went out into the deep water. It happens to Peter, and it happens to us, because we can't see what Jesus sees. And we just go about our daily lives ignoring what is unseen. And when God does act in our lives, something we've heard or are hard-pressed to explain, what do? We call it a coincidence. For Simon, though, he did let down his nets into the unseen, and surprisingly, caught such a large number of fish that his nets began to break. So he called for his partners to come over. Hey guys, come over and help me! And they had such a large catch that both boats began to sink. But Simon didn't respond as though this was a coincidence. No, he knew exactly what had happened. And we see it in his response. Read it with me. Simon Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. You see, Simon begins to recognize that Jesus sees what is unseen, to know what cannot be known, and he recognizes his unworthiness to even be in his presence. Now, I think that this is a turning point in Simon's life. He has lived his life as a fisherman, probably like his father did before him, making boats and nets, waking up to fish on the lake outside where he lives, for 6 days a week, casting his nets to provide food for his family and others, and then after a long day, going to sleep to wake up to another day. And Simon's Sabbath day, his day of rest, would include going to the synagogue and then resting at home. All of these things he sees day in and day out. Simon's relationship with an unseen God has simply been based on following a set of commandments and the Levitical laws. Yet in this moment, Simon is beginning to get a glimpse of what was an unseen God. Simon is able to, for the first time, see the God of all creation, who put on flesh and made his dwelling among us. And over the next 3 years, Simon, also known as Peter, the disciple and an apostle, would have his eyes opened to the reality of the unseen kingdom of God. Peter would see demons flee. He would see the lame walk. The sick would be made well. He would even see the dead rising from the grave. Peter began to see what was before for him unseen. And when Jesus talked about the coming of God, Peter would believe even though it was not yet here, not yet fully revealed. Jesus was teaching Peter, really all of us, that we cannot just live for what is seen. Yes, we do work within our visible world, and we touch physical realities. But like I shared with the children, we live within much that cannot be seen, but only experienced. We cannot see oxygen, yet we breathe it in. Our bodies receive the oxygen from the air. We catch viruses and cold, yet we cannot see them, but we know they exist. Although we cannot see the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit still resides in each one of us, guiding us, speaking to us, comforting us, strengthening us, empowering us to live lives for Jesus, emboldening us to share this Jesus with others who have yet to see the unknown. See what? That there is a realm which exists, yet remains unseen even by us. It is a place, a real place, where God the Father and God the Son reside right now. We oftentimes refer to it as heaven. God created all that is seen, and as the Nicene Creed says that we say so often, the unseen. And many people think the unseen spiritual realm is far away, and it's so far away that we can't touch it. We can't experience it. For many, they believe that the physical realm is here on earth, and the unseen spiritual realm is located in heaven far away. But as we see in Scripture, this is not true. Adam and Eve were removed from the garden of evil in part because of their encounter with an unseen spirit in the form of a serpent. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Jacob, and Elijah are just a few who encountered spiritual beings while here on earth. Satan, a spiritual being, would tempt Jesus right before he began his ministry in a physical wilderness. Jesus would cast out evil spiritual demons from many people whom he met during his ministry here in the physical world. Peter, John, and Paul all give various encounters that they have had in the spiritual world. You see, the spiritual realm does intersect with the physical realm. They're not distant from each other, as you might imagine, but they are mixed together. And what we do and what we can say impact what is happening in the spiritual realm, the unseen realm to us. Billy Graham relates in his story that relates a story in a book called God's Secret Agents about missionary John Paxson and his wife in the New Hebrides. He said that one night John says that one night he and his wife were surrounded by hostile natives who wanted to kill them from the missionary station. And they prayed together all night for protection, and at daylight, for some unknown reason, they watched the attackers walk away. A year later, the chief of that tribe who attacked that couple was asked by Pastor Patton about the night of the attack and why nothing happened. The chief was surprised and said, "Because there were so many men protecting you. Hundreds of them with shining garments, with drawn swords, had surrounded the mission station." We do not know how God is working in our midst, how God is operating the spiritual realm around us. But what I do know is that God is with us, and that God is for us, and that God is here. If we could just open our eyes to see the wonderful ways in which God is at work in our lives and the lives of those around us on a regular basis, we would be amazed. And I think we would become more urgent about living a spiritual life. In the moment when Simon Peter pushed out into deeper water, responding to Jesus, he began to trust Jesus. He was willing to trust Jesus, to allow Jesus to take him where Jesus wanted him to go, to do with him what Jesus wanted him to do. And as a result, Simon grew in his faith and was able to begin to see that which was unseen before. He began to live a life with an unseen future for God. in a moment, we're going to sing a response of hymn as a prayer. And I ask God to take you out into deeper water, to take you where you haven't been before. Are you willing to trust the Holy Spirit? To allow the Spirit to take you where you have not been before. To do with you what you have not ever done. And as a result, to grow deeper in faith. To grow deeper in love with God. And to continue to live your life for an unseen future with an unseen God. Will you do that? Will you go into deeper water? Will you trust God to take you where you have not been before? Let us pray. God, what a scary thing. Sometimes to go where we have not gone, to do what we have not done, to be who maybe we have not been, but who you created us to be. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. God, that you would give us strength. That you would help us to open our eyes. That we might see all that you have for us to see. That we might be all that you have created us to be. Help us to know you, God. Help us to invite your Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives, completely given over to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
Amen.